Hey, everybody. This is Reverend Jody Susan Calhoun with my co-host, Fayla, who's to my right. She'll pop in here in a minute. And we have Dr. J.R. Heise from Optimal Health, and he actually works in another place in Chicago, a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, and he is amazing. But today we are going to talk together about, are you being seen but not heard? And there's, you know, so we all have our ideas about what that means. So, you know, Dr. J.R. calls me this morning, and he's like, I'm getting these rapid downloads about like different ways we can look at this. I'm like, you rock, right? You absolutely rock. So we're going to talk today. We are live on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And then this will be aired on Podbean and every other podcast channel that you can imagine. If you like this show, if you like this podcast, this is something I always forget to do. Please subscribe. Okay. And like, give us a thumbs up. And then you can see this and more. You know, it's free education. All right. Here we go. Let me bring on Dr. JR. Hello, friend. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You look
How
handsome?
Are you?
Good. And the demon eyes are gone.
Right. Exactly. my eyes feel a little bit more free.
Well, and for everybody else who doesn't know what the demon eyes were, Dr. JR started the we were, you know, backstage making sure video and audio is working. I'm like, and you had glasses on. You can show people.
I'll give you an example. Like,
so, right. So,
okay. It changes color depending on what I tap into.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's hilarious. So this is a really great topic, and it's a big topic for me because, you know, I think it's a big thing for men as much as it is for women, quite frankly, where, and I'm going to just briefly tell how I was looking at it, but honestly, I want you to take the show because you had some really great downloads about this. So growing up, you know, you're sitting around the dinner table, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah, it's Kwanzaa, you know, name your holiday, it's Easter, and the children can be seen in their pretty little dresses or their nice suit, but they cannot be heard, right? And like, that's the message. And I'm like, well, how is that going to work when you get to school and you're asked to raise your hand and speak? You're like this, and nothing comes out of your mouth. I know I've gotten on stage to sing with my girlfriend. Nothing comes out of my mouth, although I seem to have gotten it over it here. And like then that same gentleman or little young girl, right? He or she gets into work. And they're also being, they're not participating. So we have a non-participatory group of people. And I'm not saying this is for everybody. Actually, I had to deprogram myself because I was so scared. And we'll talk about that later. But so that's one way of looking at, are you seen but not heard? JR, please tell people these other caveats, these other ways of looking at this. Go.
You know.
Awesome.
When we see someone, most of the time we don't see them. We don't truly see them. When we see someone, we're looking at mostly the physical appearance. When we see someone without truly intentionally seeing them, it's like judging a book by its cover. You're only seeing the outer shell. The more, I'm inclined to say, the more important thing to learn to do is to truly listen to someone. Because listening to someone, when you voice something or when you communicate, that comes from within. That comes from the inside. So it's comparing the book cover to the letters that are written inside it. When you communicate, when you listen to someone's story, whatever that may be, you're reading the letters written within the book. So the intent here, I would invite everyone is learn how to listen. Learn how to listen properly. Do you need to listen to every single word in a sentence? No. But listen to what is being vocalized. Listen to how it's being vocalized. Listen to the intonations of whatever is being expressed to you. Listen to the body language of the person. Mm-hmm. Funny how I said that. Listen to the body language. Don't look at the body language. Listen to the body language. Because when someone interacts with you, when someone is speaking to you, there's language behind the movement. And you could witness the body language within the tone of voice. So it's very peculiar. But yeah.
So I want to add to that because Fagla, you can come over here and say hello. Certainly not. Fagla has been saying for many, many years, start with heart. And like I thought I got it, but I didn't really until probably a few weeks ago. And going, dovetailing on listening. What my husband and I learned to do was to listen with our hearts. And so I'm allowed to say it. I had a muscle test, make sure it's okay. So when he thought that listening meant standing in attention, just staring at me, and I'm like, no, that's a little uncomfortable. And so I finally got the download and got the discernment. It's you can be multitasking, you can be doing your thing, keep your heart and your ear connected to me. And I know that you're connected. I can feel you, right? I know that you're hearing me because I can feel your heart connected to me.
It reminds me of something, maybe another download I got, but teaching everyone to be a witness. Being a witness is a very, very distinct word. We think of witnessing as just what we see. Not that I wish this upon anyone, but if you were to see a car accident, witness a car accident, you don't just see it. You see it, you hear it, you smell it, you taste it, you feel it. That is witnessing, using all five senses in totality to have an experience. So in this case, I would invite everyone to, instead of looking at purely seeing someone versus listening to someone, witness the person that's in front of you.
So I want to take that a step further. God, I love this. So my husband and I got married on top of Roswell Mills Mountain in Georgia.
Beautiful.
You know, like all my stuff was stolen. Some was his. Our stuff was stolen when we moved here. There was no dress. I happened to have a pair of khaki pants and a cream-colored sweater, right? So, like, it works. So we hike up to the mountain. Our friend Rajai, who you met, Rajai Keldani, piped in over Zoom. We brought the girls. And we had the marriage. We had the wedding. I didn't feel seen. We didn't have our family. There was nobody witnessing it. And so I didn't feel like it was real and didn't feel heard.
That calls for a redo.
Oh, yeah. I need to get a dress, but yes. And, you know, here's the thing. We are both now very seen and very heard by each other. Like very seen, very heard, very loved. But I didn't understand the power of the witness of the event. And so the question is, what event do you need to have witnessed for you to be seen and heard?
the idea is to teach everybody how to witness everything with all five senses. Mm. We're always thinking of how we're doing things, mm-hmm. and are we doing things adequately? Are we doing things correctly? When that only allows you to focus on very specific concepts, whether it's seeing someone, hearing someone, hugging someone. But when you witness the full aspect of any and all interaction, when you witness your life, when you wake up in the morning, I'll take it back further. When you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes, smile. Simplest thing in the world, smile. Because yes, you can fake it until you make it, but smile, because that sets the tone for the day, right? But also remember that when you first wake up, you're waking up to the world, right? But it's also a two-way street. The world, the universe, is looking at you, is witnessing you. It's just like opening the blinds first thing in the morning and looking outside. We always think it's a one-way street. We're seeing the beauty that's outside our window. But mm-hmm. all of nature, all of that magic is witnessing you at that time too. So if you understand that, if you just give a smile first thing in the morning, so that the universe, the world can see, witness your smile, mm-hmm. then you have an interaction. Smiling.
Oh, and I'm with you 100%. But you said first thing in the morning, but then you had a hiccup and you said first thing in the world.
No, but I
kind of liked it. I'm thinking we need to witness our children and not slap them on the tushy when they wake up or come into the world. Excuse me.
First thing, allow your expression to be a gentle one, a positive one, gentle smile, so that the universe could witness that within you. That's the interaction. That's the law of attraction. That is when you get to manifest. That is when you get to paint the new canvas that is white. When you wake up first thing in the morning, you have a white canvas for that day. When you have that interaction between the universe and yourself with just a simple smile, then you could start creating that art piece that you want to create for that day.
Exactly. So what do you suggest for people who were, as children, told to be seen but not heard? What's the way out of that? Like, because it's an imprint, right, that they're holding as a cellular memory that's not serving them. I would respectfully suggest has them playing small. Right? Small in the world where there's infinite possibilities. What are some of the things that you suggest? Because, you know, that's your gig all day, in addition to using needles and cupping and all that.
it's in behavioral science, we call that a pattern.
Right.
It's a behavioral pattern. You've been taught throughout your, we'll call it your upbringing. You've been taught something, and that's how you continue living your life. To change a pattern, to change a behavior, you have to play the record over and over again. It sounds like a broken record in the beginning, but then something switches at some point after continuously reprogramming, hearing a new program run, that program starts running automatically. And it's been determined that within 66 days, you can flip a program, you could change a program, you could change a behavior.
Well, so, with neuro-linguistic programming, you can change a behavior in 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can. No, exactly. Anytime between the first witnessing of your new program, uh-huh. right, into 66 days. That's the ballpark. It can take up to 66 days to reprogram a behavior so that it becomes your constant. So if you were seen as a child but not heard, what is it you seek?
Yeah, what do you want to replace it with?
One, you need to realize that you want to realize if you want to replace it.
Yeah, I mean, some people are introverted and they're happy being a spectator instead of being on the field. Exactly. I'm more like, I want to be on the field, right? I don't want to be, life to me is not a spectator sport. Although that's what they've, you know, kind of programmed us to believe that we have to be spectators in the game of life. Mm-hmm. And I say, no, you want to be on the field making that goal.
You want to be, you would eventually want to be the architect, the designer, and the engineer of your life.
Yeah, all day.
So again, going back to that canvas, what are you going to paint first thing in the morning? What are you going to create for the rest of the day?
And what I like to look at in order to help people do that is I have people create vision boards. Mm-hmm. And
I love vision boards.
Me too. And I used to do them all the time. I don't anymore. I just basically write them down on a piece of paper because I started becoming such a master manifester that it took too long. By the time I'm like done with half the board, right?
You know, a really simple trick, and I call it simple just because it's fun and you can get colorful with it.
Okay.
Print different colors of lipstick.
Okay.
And use your bathroom mirror as your canvas.
Okay.
When you paint, and I'm not saying paint pictures or anything like that, but a perfect example of this is find an affirmation. Affirmations are very powerful, right? An affirmation can reset your programming.
All day.
So that when you write that affirmation in the color that you wanted, color that resonates with you, when you write it on your mirror, you keep it there. And you recite it to yourself every time you look at yourself in the mirror. You recite that affirmation 1, 2, 3 times, as many times as you want. But that's going to allow you to vocalize, again, going back to sound, vocalize the intention that you want to start running. Vocalize the creation, sorry, of the pattern that you want to start running.
So I'm going to do a yes and to that. So first of all, lipstick is a pain in the butt to get off the mirror.
So, you don't have to use lipstick.
So I have another idea. So when I was training, this is back in 2016, in corporate wellness, you know, we were looking at how do we take a group of people, large group of people, and help them shift their mindset about whatever it is we want to help them shift their mindset about. Well, it was about putting mantras or communications. Okay, she's got something she needs to say. Okay, what do you want to say? We talked about people starting with heart at the very, very beginning. Where were you?
There she goes.
She's like, tell them to start with heart. I'm like, we did that at the beginning of the podcast. Okay. So, okay. Is there something in it? No. Okay. So pause on your, thank you. We love you. And you are always heard. Okay. So, I hear you. Okay. So we're going to come to that in a minute. Okay. So the first thing is, if you work for a large corporation or even a small corporation or a small business, you can put signs on the walls for things that you're trying to get people to start thinking, like, and shifting their mindset, right? Also, you can put this on the floor. So, because a lot of people are looking down on the floor when they walk, so you can put these signs on the floor or have pop-up banners as a way. If you're at home, you put them on the walls. I put them on my bathroom wall, my kitchen wall. My refrigerator door, you know, like all over the place. And I put them on the front of my phone, right? It's like whatever that message is. One of the things was for me is as I talk, I walk with God. And for me, it was because I was trying to tame my tongue, right? So if you walk with God, your tongue is tamed, is it not? It was a nice way.
It reminds me of a very simple technique that is very powerful for people that are suffering from various forms of depression.
Mm-hmm.
A wonderful hack to that is go to your local Target, Walgreens, CVS equivalent, and get as many smiley face stickers as you can. And when you get home, stick those smiley face stickers all over your apartment, your phone, the front of the phone, the back of the phone, by your nightstand, your lamp on the nightstand, your refrigerator door, your mirrors, being constantly reminded mm-hmm. that you are being smiled to has a powerful effect.
Well, I mean, there's actually science behind that, mm-hmm. right? So Masuro mm-hmm. Emoto and his experiment with water. And so what I do here is I put those smiley faces on my water filtration system.
Mm-hmm.
And I also put on rainbows. I put on words of affirmation all on and around the water filtration system mm-hmm. because I want a high vibration water coming through. Mm-hmm. So I love that idea.
Another technique that follows the same principle is a Qigong grandmaster, Matak Chia. He mm-hmm. has a meditative Qigong practice called the inner smile, where you tap into your organs, your various parts of your body, and you smile to yourself.
It's going to be a yes and kind of day. So the other thing is humming, because humming mm-hmm. heals. So you send the hum to whatever part of the body part doesn't feel good, right?
Whether it's a physical vibration or an etheric vibration, it still works the same.
An etheric or a what?
A sound vibration or an etheric vibration. One that you cannot
find the difference.
A sound vibration is like humming. You can mm-hmm. hear it. You can feel it.
Okay.
What I call an etheric vibration is something that cannot be witnessed, but we know that it's there.
Oh, yeah. I get that all day.
Just like a mother that cradles her child mm-hmm. and does a little rock like this. There's no grandmaster of technique ABC 123 that has the same power as a mother that cradles her child and suddenly the baby goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is true. True energy work. That is vibrational frequency at its best, at its core. And that is non-witnessed. It's felt, but there's no sound to it. There's no light to it. You can't see it.
You can't see it because it's coming from the mother's heart. It's her heart, right?
Right, exactly.
So Fagla's biting at the bit for me to mention something about animals. Mm. And I get what she's saying. And it's ridiculous what we do. So many of us adopt a bird, a dog, a cat. Let's focus on the dogs and the birds though for a minute, because they can be kind of chatty, right? And then the person says, let's say the dog's name is Spot. Quiet, Spot, right? They're telling him not to bark. Well, that's what they do.
True.
You know, like you're asking the dog not to speak, or you're asking the bird not to chirp. Tinkerbell, who's too shy to come on stage, she was put in a basement, in a dark basement, mm-hmm. because they didn't want her to talk. They didn't want her to use her voice. And so she became very depressed. And when she got here, she was just like traumatized. And so for those of you who have animals, if they're barking like crazy, ask them why.
They have something to share. There's a really good book, Ted Andrews, I believe. It's called Animal Speak.
I have it right there.
It's a powerful, powerful book on animal communication. And it's a beautiful book. I read that when I was in my I don't even think I was a teenager yet.
Well, yeah. So we should we let the cat out of the bag about who you are? Because I mean, we haven't, you know, we.
Who am I? What am I? It depends on the day.
Well, who and what you are to me is like you're this amazing soul, good friend who looks at things in different angles and accesses consciousness, time travels. Oops, did I say that?
Depending on the day.
What's that?
Depending on the day.
Yeah. Which I have to connect you to the guy who's editing my book. Because he's a time traveler.
Since, I'd love to.
Yeah, he had, I think, don't quote me, like 7 or 8 near-death experiences. Now he's time traveling. He's like,
there you go.
Okay, yeah. It's like, so I'm writing my book on it. I go, you might want to talk to Dr. JR about that.
I'd love to meet him anytime.
So,
a little bit of background on me. I started very young playing in the energy field. I just played, okay? And from that, I built a relationship with what is called energy. So what I tell people is my first language, my first friend was energy. Mm-hmm. That is my background. That is my connection. That is my sensitivity. From there, I branched into, you know, various forms of energy work, energy for healing, as well as energy for self-defense. And then...
energy for self-defense. Talk about that.
There are different... you can use energy. I'll give an example. If you are on a train and you witness another person, another character that... for lack of a better word, you don't want to interact with. You have two options. You can either make yourself into a bear or a lion and give them a little pushback, a little fear, so that they don't come towards you, or you could turn into a little mouse and have them walk right by you and not even notice you.
Interesting.
That is using energy for self-defense.
So I do it a little differently. Is there any other ways that you do it?
There are many ways to use.
Oh, I know. I'm just asking you before I give my version.
Oh, no. Go right ahead.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we are such powerful energy beings, right? We can actually move things with our mind if you want to. I'm sure you do, right?
We have access to, we don't even know what we have access to. Mm-hmm. But there are many things that are possible that... are still not on the day-to-day common.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right. So it was interesting. So I threw a pillow onto the bed, like in those toss pillows. We finished making the bed. I throw the pillow. I see that it's getting ready to hit what? A glass of water that's on the side table. And I'm like, no. I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to clean up, 32 ounces of water and it's carpeted. Don't do that, Dolly. So it just then you could see the pillow move like it didn't hit the water. Mm-hmm. And I got that I did that.
Energy is all frequency and everything is vibration. And every frequency has a specific vibration. So there are short frequencies, very fast pattern. There are longer frequencies. There's not one frequency that is better than the next. It's all the same field. Some people call that quantum at this point. But that field has a highway. And that highway where those frequency, where that energy travels is intention.
Wait, say that last part in that frequency with that.
The highway which frequency travels is intention.
Intention. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Well, yes, you could focus just again, going back to the mother that cradles her child. Mm-hmm. You could take your hands, place it on a broken heart and mend the heart. Mm-hmm. You could take your hand with a little bit of TLC, tender love and care, You can place it on any area of pain and witness, again, it's all about witnessing, witness the reduction of that pain. Witness how good that sensation feels. It's the exact same method as your phone rings and you know exactly who's calling before looking at the screen.
Always.
It's
actually, I know who's calling before the phone rings.
There you go. Yeah. So it's
you know. That's why I don't have my phone on. Like, I don't need a ringer.
When you tap in, you have a lot more insight. What is tapping in? Tapping in is aligning yourself. Tapping in is aligning your centers, whatever centers you want to or choose to believe in, whether it's chakras, meridians, bioenergy, whatever you want to call it. You connect to your higher self if you choose to go that route. You connect to source if you want to, you know, take it a step further. But it's a connection to all. A-L-L, all capital.
So Dr. JR, it's interesting because spirit just came in, right? And I said, well, we probably want to connect this back to, are you seen but not heard?
Yeah.
And the truth is, now I'm going to give another dichotomy to this. They said, you actually don't need to be heard because you can be felt. So I and my husband were in Chicago last October. And Raj is pulling in front of this car, making a left-hand turn. Probably not a good time for him to be doing that. Love you, Raj. And he knows. And my energy came, my force field came out, was like a stop. Mm-hmm. And that car did not move.
Nice.
So the point is, and I'm just going to do the other side. Sometimes you actually a lot of times you don't actually need to be heard. You can be felt and listened to on a soul level.
And that is key.
Go ahead.
That is key. Yeah. That is what we should all be learning in kindergarten and elementary school, is how to witness, because witness is not just seeing or hearing. It's the whole picture. And witnessing is not only just the five senses. The five extra senses and the senses after that.
Well, yeah. So and Chris says we are master healing machines and manifestors, and I say all day, right? So go ahead.
Let me just enter this.
We're gonna be like
this little tidbit.
I know.
Yeah, I wish this could be taught in kindergarten.
I know.
When you wake up in the morning, we mentioned the canvas and everything, okay? That's an imagery. Mm-hmm. But when you wake up in the morning and you smile, learn, again, however way you want to vocalize this, but make command. So let's go back further. You have the greatest factory in the world, which is the human body. Mm-hmm. You have 75 trillion employees, your cells, okay?
Well, wait, say that again, 75 trillion employees?
Yourselves.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Okay. So if you want to be a good CEO of your factory, then sometimes you have to write a memo, right? So first thing in the morning, make a command, send a little memo to every single cell in your body. I raise my vibration for whatever is best for my highest. Or I raise my vibrational frequency to the best for my best and highest self. However way you want to phrase that. Mm. I raise my vibrational frequency.
Right. I mean, and you can do that by, you know, bringing in source energy, and, you know, being at one with him. And
there's a second part, though.
Oh, go ahead. I got two apps.
This is important. When you wake up, raise your vibrational frequency. When your vibrational frequency is elevated to whatever is best for you and your highest self, then there is no room for dis-ease. Disease is two words.
Yeah.
Dis-ease. Life is no longer easy. So why not elevate your frequency so that you can bring ease to your life? But the second part of that, of the daily exercise, is before you go to bed, make another command. I let go of what no longer serves me.
So yes, and we do that every single night. Like my husband and I, we put it like a veil of protection over ourselves and of course the girls. We release what doesn't serve us, ask God to download to us what we need, you know, to serve him and serve humanity. So, and it's
the simplest thing in the world.
What's that?
Sorry. I let go of what no longer serves me. It's the simplest thing in the world, but we, we're not taught to do that. So what happens is that the luggage gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and the backpack gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And suddenly we're walking with a hunchback because we're just carrying a lot of CRAP that is not ours and that no longer serves us.
What? C?
R-A-P.
R.
I didn't know if I could say that out loud.
It's
you know.
Well, so, and I want to like, I want to talk about that and I want to share a couple of experiences that I, to give people permission to do the same. Okay. So for one, going back to how powerful we all are. So, and that I've been noticing for myself where I have a belief system about a thing. Like I had a sit stand desk and I was no longer using it. So I sent it to Andrew's son in Texas, right? And I'm unscrewing the last screw from the bottom. And I noticed it wasn't going out with ease and grace. And then I had a belief system that it was gonna break. I thought, oops, shift that fast, right? So then I just imagine the screw coming out super easy and right into my, and literally where it was stuck just came right out, right? So I decided to set my intention for everything and anything I do so that I can have the result that I want, which is a very powerful place to be because I do have a lot of self-limiting beliefs, just like you, just like everybody else, right?
We are our worst critics.
What?
We are our worst critics, always.
Yeah. So then the other thing is, I would say, be aware of your surroundings. So when I was a young girl, I was probably one of the first few people in the world that were working with the ATMs, balancing ATMs. I was like 15 years old, right? So, you know. Me and the armored car guy. So, yeah. And
I can somewhat picture that.
What's that?
I can somewhat picture that.
Yeah. I mean, you know. And so it's in Barrington, Illinois, Barrington State Bank. And so I forgot where I was. Oh, so the point is that, what was the point with that? I forget the point. So let me go to the next point that I had. The point is that we can imagine whatever it is that we want. And we have to, be aware of our surroundings. So I was taught since that time, when we're balancing the ATM, be aware of your surroundings, okay? Now, that's great. You go to the ATM, you get cash. Yeah, be aware of your surroundings. You don't want something unfavorable to happen at that time. So I always created, you know, I'm in a safe place, blah, 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 blah. But check around. Now I'm going to take it to the next energetic level, okay? What is the universe trying to tell you, right? What are the signals that are right in front of you that seem sweet, but you're, or comical, it's really a message, right? So I'm walking out of the, of a store in Marietta, Georgia, and on the garbage can, and I saved it, was a nickel and a penny. What does that equal?
Six
cents.
Yeah.
Yep. It was my father saying, Jody, use your 6 cents. Because I had a problem. He's like, use your 6 cents, right? Or you see an animal and it's showing up and like just staring at you, whatever.
A raccoon.
Or in their case, there's been this cardinal that has literally been sitting on the railing of the porch and staring at me.
Really? It has a message for you.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, when I say be aware of your surroundings, what I'm saying is, yes, be aware of your surroundings in the old ways from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s. But let's look at what is the universe sending to you, right? Because honestly, okay, keep your pantyhose on for this one, everybody, and your tidy whities. So my husband and I have this beautiful property here in Marietta where we built this labyrinth, okay, with a group of delightful people. And we've been out there nearly every day because we're moving and we just really wanted to soak up the beauty of it. So we go there, we come back, we're back an hour later maybe. There's a raccoon, not a raccoon, was it? No, a squirrel tail there that was left. No, not damaged, no blood, no nothing. A squirrel tail for us. Now, I kind of don't even know yet the full depth of that meaning. We're having it, you know, we left it outside, put some doTERRA On Guard on it and let the sun, right, make sure it's disinfected. But we know that it came through the dimensions, and we know that that it's a message for us, and we're praying that the message will reveal itself, right? Maybe you're the one supposed to answer it, you know, because I can never, not never, I don't always hear well for myself, as well as I hear for others. But so it's about being present. If there's a spider, don't kill the spider. Find out what spiders mean. If there's a stink bug, definitely don't kill the stink bug. That'll be stinky. But the stink bug has specific messages. They all do. And so if you know, and in that case, those insects and animals are seen, but they're actually not heard because we're not listening to what they're trying to tell us. And because we are a vast ecosystem, we can really leverage their knowledge and their wisdom.
The reality is that we are fully, entirely connected one with nature. Mm-hmm. So going back to tapping in, what I was explaining earlier, tapping in is not anything esoteric. It's not anything, you don't have to label it as anything. The simplest form of tapping in is wherever you are. It could be work, it could be the train, it could be at home, wherever you are, just simply close your eyes and witness your surroundings. Witness your surroundings. You don't have to know exactly where everything is. Just feel the energy that is around you. Feel the space that is around you. Witness what the interaction that your environment is offering you at that time. That's called meditation. Let's keep it simple. All right. But tapping in to that sensitivity allows you to build on that sensibility so that you can have more ease in connecting with nature, I'll take it a step further, in connecting with cosmos, in connecting with, you know, the list goes on, so that you can fully experience your life. And in that experience, like you mentioned earlier, know your surroundings. I'll take it a step further. Create the surrounding that is best for you. You have that power. We've all been there. Something is about to happen. We absolutely don't want it to happen. It doesn't happen. Well, guess what? You just created a canvas. You just created that possibility. And this is something that we do on a millisecond to a millisecond daily, from beginning to end. And the great thing about life is that we are put on this planet so that we are put on this planet with a vessel, a taxi, a spaceship that we call the body, so that we can finally manifest what we want, how to make this world a better place for my liking. And that's going to sound selfish, but my liking is everybody's liking, if you look at the big picture. So we could create with these wonderful tools we call hands, and again, be the architect, designer, and engineer of your life. And in that creation, in that tapping in, we don't only connect to, if I close my eyes, I don't only connect to this room. I connect to the neighborhood, I connect to the city, I connect to the state, I connect to the world, I connect to the sun, I connect to the moon, I connect to the stars.
Well, I'm connecting too. Right? I'm sending you my heart, my heart space to your heart space. So I'm listening to you and connecting to you.
So in that connection, if everything is connected into one, I'm going to call it consciousness, then what is best for me is best for you. And it becomes a domino effect. My experience is not just my own. My experience affects the global consciousness of what we call spirit.
Well, so I want you to explain that to people, because I know like a lot of my followers understand, but I think a lot don't, that how interconnected we are, why it matters that we heal, like a wise man heals himself first, right? Versus trying to go out and heal everybody else. You know, this last year, I had, of course, you know, I have clients, but I didn't really have a lot of clients, and I didn't intend for it to be that way, because I had to heal myself first. I was sick, you know, and so now I'm, you know, no longer sick, and I'm like, okay, bring it on, you know, like bring it on. What's that?
You get gold star.
I get 3 gold stars actually, but I'm just gonna say that's just me, you know. But explain to people about the concept of healing yourself first and why it's important to stop focusing on fixing your partner and fixing this person, but really look at yourself in the context of this and then understand as you heal yourself, because I'm going to let you do the deep dive, but this is the context, everyone. As you heal yourself, people then respond differently to you because you're out of judgment mode, right? And then you will be seen and you will be heard because people aren't going to feel threatened by you. So, but go ahead and do that deep dive for us if you don't mind.
The reality, and this is something that unfortunately most people miss or don't learn fully.
Okay.
I am precious. Mm-hmm. I am special. Mm-hmm. I am part of the symphony that we call consciousness.
Yeah.
And if you go see a symphony, an orchestra, it's beautiful. It's all everything works in harmony. If you take out the violin, it's distorted. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are all human consciousness alive today are working as that symphony. So I may be a violin. You may be another instrument, a trumpet. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the trumpet, you're the violin. But it all works in unison. And the most important aspect of this is that we are light. Mm-hmm. We are a spark of light that is absolute and beautiful. When you look outside in the middle of the night, you look at the sky. There's no sky. There's no cloud. Mm-mm. Sky, and all you see is stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, beautiful, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Depending where you live.
A lot of stars.
Depending where you live.
That's fine. I know. I remember back in the 70s.
A starlit sky is a beautiful thing. It's majestic. It's magical. It's miraculous.
Yeah.
Right? But guess what? Those stars are looking at this planet at the same time. And what do they see on this planet? 7 billion bright stars. Each individual is a star. Each individual has that much brightness. And it works in conjunction, and it works in totality, and it works in perfect harmony and unison. So, yes, I am special. I am precious. I am beautiful. I am bright. Some days I'm not, and that's okay.
Some days you're just not as bright. Like some days I'm not as bright. Right.
Some days the canvas is painted with shades of gray, and that's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that we are each.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So I hear you. I said, you know, I'm going to do a yes and to that again, right?
one last bit.
Yeah, so yeah. Great. Yeah.
If we realize how darn special we are, and I'm saying we are, more specifically, the I in me, mm-hmm. okay? I am a spark of light within the unisys, within the union we call humanity. Mm-hmm. Without me, humanity does not function.
Right.
If we witness that connection, that connectivity between individuals, between us and nature, between us and the stars, the sun, the moon, when you close your eyes next time, take 10 minutes, take as long as you want, but take 10 minutes, whatever room you are in, close your eyes and witness what your body's antenna are telling you.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. That's all.
No, I'm with you. I was actually getting my, I hear you up in 5D, so I'm listening to you, but, you know, I'm like, I know where he's going. I'm getting it for him. So there's a, back in 2013, when I went on disability, I also decided, okay, I'm going on disability, getting my MBA, and I'm going to become a bat mitzvah because I was born Jewish, right? So I'm like, okay. Well, I wanted to not just sit around in bed all day. I had to heal what was broken for me. But I did not, as most people know, become a bat mitzvah. I found Christ instead. But I did find a really good book at the synagogue. And the book is called Living Judaism. And it is, I forget who the author is. But I want to read something to you, to everyone, because this is so beautiful. They're talking about, in the beginning, an old Jewish legend. It says, in the beginning, before beginning, God's light filled the entire universe. Okay? And when God decided to create the world, he had to withdraw some of his light from the universe so that there would be space for the land and the seas and the trees and the corn, the stalks, the butterflies and the lions, the ladybugs and the sea otters. So this author is really poetic. He's a rabbi. And he said, so God breathed in some of the divine light so there would be room for all the things he wanted to create, like me and you, right? But what was God to do with the light? With the light of his being that had filled the whole universe, now that he breathed it in, because it's like holding it in, you know, he didn't do Vitality's breathwork class, so like, you know, he can't hold it in forever, right? So God put the light into jars, heavenly vessels that would hold his radiance. And then God began to create the sky and the earth, the dry lands. And I'm just going to fast forward, okay? Because you know what he created, right? It's very poetic. It's very beautiful. But he says, but in the heavens there was trouble. God's light, which he had put into the vessels, could not be hidden away. For no vessel, not even a heavenly vessel, could contain the radiant light of God. And I'm going to forward again. So it wasn't too long until with a blazing flash, God's light burst out of the heavenly vessels, and the force of the mighty impact caused the jars to shatter into millions of little pieces. And that light itself splintered into billions of little sparks, and the broken pieces of the vessel fell into the newly formed earth and became the ills and the evils of that beset the world. Honey, you're pulling on mommy's earring. Thank you. But let's go forward. So, and what happened to the billions of little shards of light? Each of the little shards of light, the sparks of God, became the soul of a human being. Right? And there's more to this. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and take the whole podcast to read, but you get it, right? Because we are all God. Mm-hmm. We are all God. We are all have him inside us. You have him. I have him. And what's really cool is we all got a little piece, right? So, which is why when we work together in harmony and collaboration, that's how the universe is completely connected, because we become one, we become him, right? And so going back to what you said, you know, 75 trillion employees or so, right? So let's tie back the fact that we are all one and that we all want to be seen, and sometimes we're not heard. And so, yeah, we do want to reprogram that because it's a self-limiting belief. But I also want to say, and I had no idea I would be saying this on the show, you actually don't need to always be heard. You need to be felt. Yeah. You know, very heart with heart.
I'm gonna give an example of one of the most powerful and intimate healings one can perform.
Okay.
A hug.
All day, heart to heart.
When you hug someone, mm-hmm. you embrace them.
Yes.
You bring them towards you. Mm-hmm. When you hug someone, you connect chest to chest. So heart to heart.
Yeah.
Right above the heart, and by the sternum, there's a little gland called the thymus gland.
Okay.
Okay. And the gland is known as the gland of immunity. But
that's got it.
If you take it a step further, is the gland of recognition. Mm-hmm. So that you can identify what is self and what is foreign. I don't use immunity, I use recognition. So now you are connecting heart to heart, you're connecting thymus gland to thymus gland in perfect recognition of the individual that you are wrapping your arms around. And then you connect the back of your necks to each other. So cerebellum to cerebellum. What is the cerebellum? It's an area of the brain that is the integrator, for lack of a better word. It integrates all of our experiences. It's polar complement energetically is the third eye. So now you have a complete unison, a complete union of two bright lights coming into one. Mm-hmm. Now some people aren't into hugging, that's okay, but the power of a hug,
all my friends are,
is truly exquisitely felt when it's done properly. And it's
I thank you for articulating this heart to heart. You know, when you don't do heart to heart, you do the opposite. As I understand, it's like a retraction versus giving, it's pulling away. Is that true? Or
the heart is magnetic, and what is magnetism? It pulls and gives. It's a give and take. Mm-hmm. All right. This is what magnetism is, right? Mm-hmm. A magnetic pull and a magnetic push, depending on the poles. So the heart is all about giving and receiving. Mm-hmm. The heart center is also the we within me, meaning it's all about connectivity. It's all about community. It's all about society. It's all about humanity. It's all about the big picture. It's the family. Right? And in this case, it's not just blood family. It's the family of every single brother and sister on this planet that is here with me right now.
Yeah. And it's electrical.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
You know, I know you have to go back to work because we've had 60 minutes. We're so grateful.
It goes by too quickly, Jody.
It really does. You know, I don't really love doing 2-hour shows, but I would do it with you again.
I'd be honored anytime.
You know, so just to wrap up, are you seen but not heard? The thing is, there are ways to clear those patterns. both Dr. JR and I can help you with clearing those patterns. And two, you can also reframe really what's important for you and create a new pattern that allows you to live your best life. Is there anything
you want to add to that? Make yourself priority. Always. There's nothing selfish about that. My priority to myself equals the elevation of consciousness that is global.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. Every time you're doing something that you resent doing, that vibration's coming out, right? So it's
life should not be resented. Life should not be resented. You should have no regrets in this lifetime.
Thank you. Yeah.
Learn that. Because every experience is a learning. Every experience is growth. No matter how good, bad, ugly, or pretty it is.
Yeah. Yes. And we should do this show again.
I'd love to.
Schedule actually a part two about being seen but not heard, because I think we can do a deeper dive.
And I would love to. We'll have some time. I love you. And I'll be there.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jody. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great week.
You too. Bye.